7,505 days exactly, I stood in this pulpit. 7,505 days ago, I preached on Matthew 1:21 on the day of my ordination. And it was a nerve-wracking, extensively wonderful, but extensively stressful experience. At this moment, I want us all to be in prayer for Brother Patrick, because he knows the burden of what's coming upon him right now. He knows the burden of the stress of being called of God to do something that, if we were honest with our flesh, none of us would truly desire to do.
Right.
To take on the burden of caring for God's bride.
Yeah.
To take on the burden of caring for a home that is your heavenly home. Like I said, 7,505 days ago, I was a young man, and now I stand before you an old man. 7,505 days from now, I don't know if I'll be here or I will be in heavenly glory with Jesus Christ my Lord. It's a long time. But I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God knows exactly where I'm going to be. That God knows exactly where you're going to be. That God has blessed you with eternal, everlasting life, that He has given you His Son Jesus Christ as payment for the sin that each and every one of us dwell in. It's difficult for me today. My mind is settled on specific verses, and I'm going to get to them, but I do want to make mention that most everyone here knows how much I love Patrick. I am blessed beyond measure to not only have him as a brother in Christ, but to have him as a brother-in-law. As a matter of fact, when we were at Holiday World 15 years ago, I was blessed to realize that we are twin brothers-in-law, that we look exactly alike, that we act exactly alike. We married sisters that look and act alike. We are blessed beyond measure from that fact. 15 plus years ago, Lois Merle Fuller made a comment, which has always stuck with me, that Patrick is very serious about his foolishness. And that is a true statement. Patrick and I both are very serious about our foolishness. But God has blessed me to have somebody in my life that is so lifted up in the Spirit of God in his day-to-day actions, that he has no idea what a blessing he is to all those around him. He has no idea the hundreds, if not thousands, of children that he has changed their lives for the better. He has no idea the hundreds, if not thousands, of people that he's met just by his personality, by his outgoingness, by his curmudgeonly attitude, which is growing in age with him, that I'm thankful for. So we're not here to celebrate Patrick. We're not. We're not here to glorify Patrick. We're here to acknowledge that God has saw fit to give him the ability to serve others and to serve God by serving others. So we give God praise for that fact. We're going to go to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to go to chapter 10. We're going to go to verse 35. And we're going to get right into it here. Chapter 10 and verse 35 of Mark says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." Isn't that awesome? The first thing that came to my mind was this verse. And here's Patrick. Patrick comes to my mind when I think about this verse. And we'll get into why Patrick makes me think of this verse. But it's not because Patrick wants to be at the front. It's not because Patrick wants to be lifted up. It's not because Patrick is like James and John, looking for a title or looking for an opportunity to do something and him be glorified. He's nothing like James and John from that aspect. Because he goes on to say in verse 36, "And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you?" God, being God, was merciful with the strange and dramatic request that James and John asked. Now, James and John were asking this with 10 other disciples, apostles, standing right there. James and John were asking this with others who were ready to do what God could call them to do, right there beside them. But James and John decided at that point in time that it was time for them to ask for the higher calling of what their position was. It's like if I went into my boss's office and said to Barry, I said, "Barry, I think I'm ready to be the CEO." And Barry could respond one of two ways, and I'll tell you without a shadow of a doubt, the answer is going to be no. I know the answer of what it's going to be. be, but Jesus says, what would you that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. They wanted to sit in a position of power. They wanted to sit in a position of glory. They wanted to sit in a position where they could be seen as two who have done their best to glorify Jesus Christ. They wanted to be lifted up. They wanted to be exalted. They wanted to be glorified in and by their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's really, it's wonderful to have people say nice things about you. You know, I really like it when I hear people saying nice things about me. It's not something that I look forward to not hearing. It's much more difficult when people are saying bad things about you, and it happens as well. It's much more difficult when people are saying negative things about you, which happens as well. But I love to hear it. We all love to be lifted up. We all love to feel that we have done something right. We all love to be acknowledged. We all like to feel that we're the best at something. And that's what they were looking for. I'm not bashing James and John at this point in time and trying to bring them down that they're horrible, horrible people. They're just people is what they are. They are people who saw an opening, who saw an opportunity, who felt they were qualified. And guess what? They were qualified. They were qualified by Jesus Christ to do the job. We know that they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. We've seen John, Jesus himself in the Gospel of John, you know, tells him, looks upon Jesus' mother and says, look upon your mother. I mean, we've seen that he's been given ultimate responsibility. We know that in John 21, Peter himself says, what's this man to do? And Jesus says, what if it is he just waits till I get back? What's it to you? I mean, we know that James and John are beloved apostles. It's not as if they're doing something that's so egregiously wrong. They are just looking for an acknowledgement and the ability to stand above in what they've done for God. And Jesus says in verse 38, but Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of? Are you really comprehending what you are looking for here? You know, I talk about if I go into my boss's office and say, hey, I want to be the CEO, and I know the answer is going to be no. But if I went in there with a sincere desire to do it, with a sincere desire, I feel like I could do the job after being there for 25 years. I feel like I understand the job after being there for 25 years. I feel like I comprehend what needs to be done. But he could look on me the same way that Christ looks on these two right here and say, do you really understand? And the truth of the matter is, I don't. Because I have not sat in that chair. I don't understand. Right. They don't understand what they're asking for.
That's exactly right.
Patrick, at this point in time, is ready to be ordained because he feels like God has given him the calling, the church has acknowledged his gift, but he doesn't know what it's going to be until he gets into that seat. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand it, and there's no way for him to understand it. When I stood here 7,505 days ago preaching before I was ordained in the afternoon, I had no idea what was about to befall me. I thought I knew it all. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that that young man standing before you on that day thought he knew a lot more than I actually know now. That young man standing before you thought I had it figured out and I had no idea. That young man with a little three-year-old and a little less than one-year-old thought that life was difficult with a three-year-old and less than one-year-old and now has a 23-year-old and a 21-year-old and wants to go back and slap him upside the head and say, you got no idea what's about to happen to you. You're not ready. You're never going to be ready. God is ready. God is able. But you have no idea what you're stepping into. You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Are you about to... You have no idea. Even though he'd been preaching. He'd been preaching that I must go up to Jerusalem. I must suffer. I must die. I must be buried. But I'll come back from the grave. You've been preaching it. But they didn't get it. They still thought at this point in time that Jesus was going to come and set up a temple and set up a throne in Jerusalem, that Jesus was going to come and kick out the Romans. That's what they still thought at this point in time, that they'd be sitting on a chair beside Jesus in Jerusalem, ruling over the world, is what they thought. And they said unto him in verse 39, we can. They were confident. They were cocky. They were arrogant. They were pompous. But yet, you read the Gospel of John and it seems like a completely different person, doesn't it? You look at the life of David and you think to yourself, how can the person that went against Goliath be the same person that would not slay Saul because he did not feel that he could touch the Lord's anointed? How could that be the same person? Because he is a person. Because he is a child of God. Because we're all complicated. John's complicated. James is complicated. Patrick's complicated. I'm complicated. Paul's complicated. Every one of y'all. It's complicated. Our lives are complicated. Our minds are complicated. Our spirits are complicated. And guess what, people? It doesn't get any easier. They said unto Jesus, we can handle it. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. And with the baptism that I am baptized with all, ye shall be baptized. He says, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer for my name and die. And you're going to be baptized in my death, burial, and resurrection. I'm not talking about a water baptism there. He's talking about his resurrection. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Them. Praise God. I believe that we are all going to be blessed to be with Jesus Christ at His right and at His left hand when we are in glory. I don't believe that Brother Colton's going to be closer to Jesus Christ than I am. I sure don't believe that Brother Charles is going to be on the right hand and I'm going to be on the left hand. We're going to be fighting between each other. I don't believe that's how heaven is going to end up. I just don't believe that that's what heaven is going to be. I just don't see it that way. I know that when I get to glory, I will be with Jesus Christ and I will be satisfied. And I won't be worried about what I did wrong on this earth, because what I did wrong on this earth has been paid for. I won't worry about my faults and my failures and my trials and my tribulations, because my faults and my failures and my trials and tribulations are as far as from the east is to the west. And I'm happy to tell you all right now, brothers and sisters, that right now, my faults and failures are as far as from the east is from the west. No matter how many more I commit, they're already paid in full. I have a debt that has been completely taken care of. And when I get to glory, I'm not going to worry about my position. I'm not going to worry about my side. I'm not going to worry about anything other than glorifying and honoring God eternal. And I'm one day closer today than I was yesterday. That's awesome. That's awesome to know and to understand. So in verse 41 he says, when the 10 heard it, when his pals heard it, when the rest of the crew heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. And that's a nice way of saying they were mad. They were angry. They were agitated. They were irritated. They were upset. But Jesus called to him and saith unto them, called to all of them. And he sat them down and he said this statement that is the most important thing for Patrick to understand here today. It's the most important thing for you to understand here today. It's the most important thing for any child of God to understand here on this earth. He says, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. That is how bosses behave. That is how rulers behave. That is how presidents and kings and chancellors and dictators behave. All of these things. But I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that I don't work for a boss eternally. I work for one that serves greater than I could ever serve in the kingdom. I work for the husband of the bride of Christ, and I work for him in such a way that he has shown an example that it's not about putting lordship over others, it's about serving others wholly and completely. Pastor of a church is not to push his sheep. A pastor of a church is to lead his sheep.
Right.
Pastor of a church is not to punish the congregation. A pastor of the church is to correct the congregation. Amen. A deacon in the church is not to lord over power over the church. Amen. A deacon of the church is to serve God's sheep and serve the shepherd. It is a difficult and it is a complicated job. But God explains it perfectly when Jesus says you're not to behave the way that the world behaves.
Amen.
You're not to behave the way the world thinks, that you're getting lifted up into this position of power. You are not being put into a position of power, you are being put into a position of service.
Right. Yes.
That's what you're being put into. You know, when I served here at Union Church, I was blessed with a wonderful deacon crew. I was blessed for years with Pappy John Harrison. I was blessed for years with Billie Jean Phelps. I was blessed with people that would do anything for anybody and help me in every way possible. And Patrick has seen these examples and been led by these examples. But that's what's being said here. They never once exercised their lordship over me or over the church.
Right.
A deacon must be willing to take all of the burden and receive none of the accolades. He says in verse 43, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." Isn't that awesome?
Right.
Isn't that awesome to know that? To know that the greatest is going to be the servant of all. And we know who the chiefest is. His name is Christ, the God King, the Lord of all. He is Yahweh, the great I Am. That's who the greatest is. That's who the chiefest is. That's who example has been set that we must hold to. For he says in verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life ransom for many." Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Matthew 1:21 that I preached upon 7,505 days ago talked about giving his life for many, not for all. We know that. I'm not going to preach a doctrinal sermon at you because I think after the past 7,505 days, y'all realize that the doctrine I understand is a doctrine that is preached from this pulpit. But I do want you to understand that the joy of serving is what my message is about today. I want to go several more places to prove it. And then because I know Patrick loves me to go late, I'm going to go ahead and finish at about 12:25. So let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. Quarter of, Patrick. I'm aiming for quarter of. Hebrews chapter 6. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." He says, let us go on unto perfection. What that means in chapter 6 and verse 1 is let's get it completely taken care of. Perfection doesn't mean you're going to live your life perfectly. There is only one man that ever lived his life perfectly. It's Jesus, the Son of God. There is nobody else that's even a close second. People say, "Oh, David was a close second. He was beloved of God." Yeah, sure. Check his sins. Check his sins at the door. It's sin after sin after sin after sin after sin. People will say that this one or that one lived a close second. There ain't no close second.
No.
There is nobody that has ever lived on this earth. It is Jesus, and then millions upon trillions of miles later, the next best person. And guess what? That next best person isn't you. It's not anybody you've ever known, and it's not anybody that's in this Bible. I'm here to tell you, they're all sinners saved by grace. But going on to completion, he says in verse 9, "For time's sake, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." Primitive Baptists get accused of not believing in doing works. That is a lie. That is an absolute lie. As a primitive Baptist preacher, I want to expound to all of you at this moment that you should be doing your Father's business. You should be helping others. You should be serving others. You should be active in your communities. You should be active in your church. You should be active at your job spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You should be adamant that when somebody says something against the name of Jesus Christ, that you stand up for him. You should be adamant if somebody takes the name of Jesus Christ in vain, say something to them. There's so many people in this world that will just drop the Lord's name in vain, and we as Christians sit there and let it happen and don't say a word. Say something. You know, we need to be willing to go forward for the name of Jesus Christ, and people may look at you weird, and people may say, "Well, excuse me, holier than thou," and you can say, "I'm not holier than thou. I'm a greater sinner than you ever dreamed to be in, but I do not want the name of my Lord and Savior blasphemed. I do not want the name of my Lord and Savior taken in vain." We are not to just sit around in the the cradle of grace and ignore the call that God has provided us. And that's what he says. We are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. What are the things that accompany salvation? Verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. That is what Patrick is being called into doing. He is being called to minister unto the saints and continue to minister. C.S. Lewis said, he said, the Son of God became a man so that men might become sons of God. And that's what it means to serve. To be a son of God is to serve others as you are serving Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, and we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Patrick's been called out to a job, but guess what? Every single one of y'all has been called out to a job as well.
Amen.
And but he specifically today is being set aside today for the purpose of ministering to God's people. That means, Shirley, that when I come to sit with you when you're dying, Shirley, I'm bringing Patrick with me. And I know that probably aggravates you, Shirley, that I'm bringing Patrick with me on that day. But guess what? He's coming with. We're going to be there together. It's going to be a joint venture. It means to serve and minister to God's people. The book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, again, makes it clear what we are to do. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty, the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He goes on to say in verse 13, for time's sake, he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, what? Serve one another.
Yeah.
You have been called and been freed. That means that, you know, Monday morning at 6:45 a.m., this physical body, has to be in Ripley, Tennessee at BR Supply. At 6:45 in the a.m. on this Monday morning, I physically have to be at Ripley BR Supply to open the doors because I am the manager at that store for all of next week. I don't have liberty. I don't have freedom. I have to be there at a specific time for a specific length because I am paid and because I've made a commitment to my boss that I'm going to be there. I don't have liberty. I have to be there. If I had liberty in my job to do what I want and to be where I want and to be where I desire, would I still go to the place where I am needed? Let me make that clear. I am needed in Ripley on Monday morning. Would I still go to the place where I am needed? Would I still get up and leave my house at 5 a.m. in order to get down there at that point in time? Would I still do that if I didn't have to? If I had the freedom to make the decision myself, would I still do it? The answer to that, I would hope, would be yes, because of a commitment and love for my position. But it's the same thing with your Christianity. You have the freedom to do absolutely nothing. You have the freedom to say, I'm not going to serve anybody. You have the freedom to say, everybody serve me. You have the freedom to say, God has saved me eternally. That's awesome. I'm just going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of my life. You have the freedom to say to God, I love you, I honor you, I glorify you, but I just ain't in the business of doing anything right now. I just can't get it done. You have that freedom. You have that liberty. Patrick has the freedom and the liberty to say to Union Church, I don't want the burden. I don't want the ability to do this. I don't want to be set aside. But he has been called under the liberty, only not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love to serve one another. He's accepted that call. He's accepted that call, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22. That's the goal of being a deacon, is to serve. The Apostle Paul, again, in the book of Acts, chapter 20. In the book of Acts, in chapter 20, this is 50 AD. This is about 17 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul has been traveling on his missionary journeys. Paul has been going and going and going. He's been from Miletus, and he's sent to Ephesus, and he called the elders of the church. And he called the elders of the church, and he told the elders in the church at Ephesus, he said, I am going to go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. He said, I'm going and bound in the Spirit, and I don't know what's going to happen to me there. He says, I have no idea what's going to happen when I get to Jerusalem. He says that, but this is where he is supposed to go, and that is what he's supposed to do. And in verse 28 of Acts chapter 20, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Paul is saying to that church, I'm not coming back, but you have got a responsibility. You have got a responsibility to take care of all of these that are members, all of the sheep, all of the bride of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Do you know how easy it is for grievous wolves to get into God's church? It's just like that. It does not take long. When I was told of God clearly and without any type of question that I was no longer to be the pastor here at Union Primitive Baptist Church, it was a difficult decision because for me, I live a half a mile that way. But for me, everyone that I love is at this church. For me, it's everything I could ever dream of for being a pastor. It's all that I could ever want to do is be the pastor at the church that I was ordained in, half a mile from my house, the comfort of everyone who I love being here with me. What a blessing. But God told me clearly, with no question, that I was no longer to be the pastor. And when that happened, he knew full well that there was going to be someone else to come along after it had been watered and that would bless this church in the way that it has been blessed since Brother Paul has been here. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We worry about things that we can't control, people. Right. What you need to realize is listen to God, follow God, understand God, and God is always right.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about that. Paul was getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he told the church at Ephesus, y'all, guess what? Bad stuff's going to happen. Be careful. He says in verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. It's not only a wolf in sheep's clothing, sometimes it's sheep in wolf's clothing. Remember that.
Yeah.
Remember that. There are sheep that dress up like wolves. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. No better place to be commended to, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, that are set apart. And that's what we are celebrating here today. We are celebrating a sanctification, a setting apart of one of God's servants to be called to do something more than what he's done. And let's not kid ourselves. Patrick's been a deacon here for 20 years. Before Patrick ever joined Union Primitive Baptist Church. Years ago after an annual meeting, Brother Denny Abernathy and Patrick and I were standing here. And Brother Denny said, Patrick, when are you going to join the church? And Patrick says, well, when I get a good pastor. thank you, Patrick. But by the grace of God Almighty, he and Colt, one of the most wonderful blessed days of my life when I was blessed to baptize my best friend into the church. And now I'm blessed today. Thank you to Brother Paul and to the church for inviting me to speak, to preach on the day of my best friend's ordination to deacon. And probably 5 years from now, I'll be preaching the charge at my best friend's ordination to elder. Who knows what's going to happen from this point forward? No pressure, Patrick. That's a joke. Don't worry. No pressure. Although I did have a good deacon by the name of Chase Harrison at one point in time. but anyway, He goes on, in this point, Paul says, is sanctified, and Patrick's going to be sanctified. And he says in verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. He says, I haven't done it for the money. And he hadn't done it. And he never did it for the money. He did it for God. That is why Patrick is doing this. Patrick isn't doing this because he's going to get some extra raise at work for being a deacon. Patrick isn't doing this because he's going to get some extra power at this church because he's a deacon. Patrick isn't doing this because he wants anybody to glorify him. The last thing he wants, he's more concerned with the brisket than he is about me or the ordination. And we all know that. Thank you, Brother Steve, for the brisket. And that's all right. That's all right. That's who Patrick is. He will do anything for anybody. He will do anything for anybody, but he doesn't want to be lifted up.
Right.
He doesn't want to be glorified. He's already mad at me for the stuff I've said so far, so I'll stop it. We're going on a trip to a football game in 2 weeks' time. Something tells me I'm going to be getting yelled at for the first hour and a half of the trip, but that's all right. That's all right, because I'll be yelling at him on the way home after Syracuse wins by 20. So it'll be all right. It'll all work out. You stay over on the other side of Jesus, Brother Charles. You stay right on over there. We don't want to hear it. Yeah. That's my co-pastor there, people. What a blessing. What a blessing. You yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and them that were worthy. I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak.
Yeah.
And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's what exactly Paul was saying in all these other places. It is the service of God where everything is gained. Where it is not in being exalted, it is in being humbled, and it is being brought to God where everything is gained. Last place we're going to go. I told you I was under a quarter of, Patrick. This is my gift to you. Gospel of John, chapter 13. On the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed. You've all seen the meme where it says that what would you do if you knew that you were going to die tomorrow? And then it says Jesus washed feet. And that it's a very important and heartfelt thing to understand. That's where Jesus is hours before he's betrayed. Hours before he's betrayed, he is washing the feet of his betrayer, and he's washing the feet of the others that are there with him. He's washing the feet of James and John, who want to be at his left and right hand. He's washing the feet of the arrogant and pompous Peter, just as arrogant and pompous as James and John. It says, if you wash me, not my feet, but also my hands and my head. But in verse 12 of John 13, so after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he was set down again. He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you. That's what we are celebrating here today. We are celebrating this. A man who is going to serve God's people. A man who is going to put his own wants and wishes aside and listen to the needs and desires and be compassionate to every one of God's children at Union Primitive Baptist Church and beyond. We are here to celebrate the Spirit of God in a man who is sinful, a man who is foolish, a man who I know more about than, and he knows more about me. If you guys knew what we knew about each other, you wouldn't let us in the church, let alone speak in the church or serve in the church. But that's by the grace of God Almighty that he doesn't see us. He's not a sinner. He is a sinner saved. He's not Adam. He is Adam, second Adam, born of the Spirit. Praise God that we celebrate. Know ye not what I have done to you? Know ye what I have done to you? Verse 13, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And it's not just talking about the physical act of washing feet. We should wash feet. I agree with that. And I'm looking forward to next Sunday at Rocky Springs Primitive Baptist Church. Next Sunday afternoon, we'll be having a communion service. I'm looking forward to washing the saints' feet. But that's not exactly what he's only talking about there. He says, "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you." So yes, we should physically wash feet. But the example that he's setting, what he has done, is he has served. He has served those that are below him. He has served those that should be serving him. He has served those that are sin-filled. You know, Romans 5 says that he died for us when we were yet in our sin. We don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve the health that we have. We don't deserve the homes that we have. We don't deserve the Nintendo Switch 2s that we have. We don't deserve the cars that we have. We don't deserve any of this stuff. We sure don't deserve the honor of knowing the kingdom of God. We sure don't deserve the honor of knowing what Jesus Christ has done. We sure don't deserve the blessing of His kingdom. We sure don't deserve the joy of singing His praises. We sure don't deserve the pleasure of hearing His gospel preached. We don't deserve any of that. We don't deserve any of it. We deserve everlasting damnation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and 23. We deserve everlasting damnation. But God has saw fit to not only give us all this earthly blessing and joy, to not only give us the joy of having my brother become a deacon in the church, not only give us the joy of me preaching in the church that I was blessed to pastor with a pastor here that is abundantly above anything I could ever dream to be as a pastor. It is not just about any of these things. It is about joy unspeakable and full of glory that God eternal saw fit to kneel at the creation's feet and wash them. And he says to us, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." And he ends it with this beautiful thought in verse 17, or I'll end it with this beautiful thought. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them."
Amen.
To serve God's people is to be as Jesus Christ is, was, and always will be. Service to God's people is the greatest calling that anyone could be called to do. And to be called to be a deacon is so important. It's such a blessing. And as I said, the man that we're about to ordain has been doing the job before he was even a member of this church. And I thank God that we're going to set him apart today. I thank God that He has given him the humility to accept it. That's what it is. It's given him the humility to accept his calling. I pray that God will be with Patrick for at least 7,505 days. I pray that at some point we're ordaining Colt, whether it be 7,505 days from now, to some office in the church. I pray that God will bless Union Church and her pastor for many, 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 many years to grow in grace and knowledge. And I pray that by Patrick's service, that Union Church will be blessed and that Jesus Christ will be glorified. I appreciate the time. 44, Patrick. I didn't even go to 45. Look at that.
No, Brother Ed mentioned that.